Thanks for joining us for today's broadcast of Power Walk. We're excited that you've joined us today as Reverend Paul Cannings, our founder and president, brings us this message series titled Redefined. We've often heard people say, "It's just the way I am." But as believers, we don't have to remain just the way we are. Pastor Cannings unravels all that for us and all that it means to be a child of God, as seen in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Here he is now with today's message titled, Consecrated.
I remember coming from Guyana, South America to America, and I heard this question so many times I could hear it in my sleep. Where are you from? Because that accent would give me away all the time. So I could remember being this teenager, this 15-year-old in high school and qualified to be a senior at that age, so I was striving to learn the new matrix of things and just did not fit in, because every time people come to me, they would say, "You talk funny." I was defined based on where I came from. I was not defined by the fact that I loved the Lord. I was not defined by my academics even. I had to strive to prove that because I came from this third world country. So I remember those days. And it helps me to understand in a lot of ways why Christ, when he brings his people together, he would redefine them in 1 Peter, because they're struggling, they're hurting, they're going through much suffering. He would even define how Christ dealt with that suffering in chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. He says, "This is a model for us." He came to his own. He came to a group of people who were supposed to go, "Yay, the Messiah is here. Hallelujah, we'll finally be able to be redeemed as a nation. We've been through so much with Roman oppression, so much divide, so much things going wrong in the temple. Hallelujah." Nope, they nailed a person to the cross that never did anything wrong, did not violate any of the laws of Moses, and they nailed him to the cross. This person who was one of them, this person who they should have been looking for, they nailed him to the cross. And Peter's saying, hey, he suffered because he allowed God to define him. He said, "I must be about my Father's business. I can't go to the temple and tolerate this anymore because it doesn't please my Father. You're supposed to come here to worship him." And this is totally outside of the Levitical purposes that he explained through Moses. So in frustration, he turned the tables upside down because he must get done what God says to do. It didn't matter who hated him. Didn't matter how he suffered. So Peter uses Christ to talk about this definition that God placed on him, and he was deeply committed to it, and it brought suffering. And he's telling them that the suffering, if it is done right, will bless them in chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 21. It'll bless you. It will raise you to a level where God will exalt you if you stay focused. Why? Christ rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Peter says, no, in trials, and when you walk with God and Satan is the prince of the earth, and he's influencing how people think, how people operate, and his way of thinking is totally opposite to God. He is by his very nature a liar. He can't think to tell the truth. Jesus is the truth. Those are total opposites. He is a liar. He shapes everything to go against what Christ is teaching. So we have to be committed to that definition. That's why he says, "I'm only talking to you who believe. You are committed to this process, that are seeking to stay sober, to live holy. That's the people I'm focused on." You got to stop looking at how you come out. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Haitian, Indian. None of those things matter, because you're now a chosen generation. It also could be interpreted as a chosen race. God views you as one tribe unto him, as we discussed yesterday. But today he says, in the midst of all of this, you are the ones that are a royal priesthood to him. The Levitical structure is no longer there. So God is now redefining us into this new nation. We are now his royal priesthood. We now bring sacrifices to him the way he defines they're done in the new system that he has for us. We don't have to kill lambs and doves and all this stuff. He said, no. When you come before God, you're not just a chosen race. You are a new nation unto God. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. that we should shew forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. So today, what does royal priesthood mean? Because that keeps us focused on his holiness. It's how we live with a new definition, because we are a brand new creation and we have a brand new focus that's defined by our renewing of our minds based on the true interpretation of Scripture, because that's what ignites the Holy Spirit. The Bible says false doctrine ignites demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Common sense, James chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, brings demons. Common sense. Satan loves common sense. That's why the correct interpretation of Scripture is critical. A chosen group of people, that is a chosen generation, a new race of people. He is saying, now let's talk about this royal priesthood. That's who we are. That's why being involved in church is huge, because you're not just a person walking around on earth looking for the best musical situation you could experience. No. You are coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when you come, different than the high priest did, but you're still in a priesthood focus. How does that work? Here's three things I would like for you to pay attention to when he talks about this. Because when we enter into church, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through verse 26, we come to a new and living way, and we are entering into his presence, his holiness. That's why the Lord's Supper, if a person takes it for wrong reasons, the Bible says they get sick and they die. What happened to the priest when he walked into the holies of holies? If he sinned, he died. Same difference, just more grace and mercy that is attached to us than, because we can go to him and confess our sins and take it, and God forgives us. When he gets in there, the minute he puts his toe in there, he's gone. So he says, when we come, we must bring spiritual sacrifices. What does that mean? Well, he tells us what that means in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And he says, present your body as a living sacrifice. In the Greek text, it means make it a habit to continually never stop doing this and constantly coming before God and making this sacrifice. So if I say members of my body, members of the tongue that never got saved, James chapter 3 would say. So when I come to God and I'm saying something that is wrong, or I'm talking to people and I'm cursing, as Ephesians chapter 5 would say we can't do, and we're using unwholesome words as chapter 4 of Ephesians says we can't. And the Bible says, okay, you recognize that because you didn't season your words with salt. You didn't do that. So you just let it run and let your mouth run. He says, okay, they never got saved. So present your tongue to God. He says, you got to renew the mind, members of your body. Make them slaves to righteousness. Renew the mind. If the world is saying something that is opposite to God, if the world is saying something that makes sense, but it doesn't fit biblically, after you study and look at the Scriptures for yourself, renew the mind. Don't argue about it. Don't fight over it. Don't take sides. Come to the truth, because the Spirit is the truth. So now you're walking in the Spirit. So therefore, the mind now, influenced by the Holy Spirit, transform you into who you are functionally. And he says, oh, the eyes, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 to verse 23, he says, like Job would say, I had to train my eye not to gaze on a woman, because he says, I want to live righteous. So if Job, who God called righteous, says that, okay, we all got to train our eyes. He says, train the eyes. When it gets dark, the Bible says right there in Matthew chapter 6, it darkens the whole body. Oh, folks, we could be gluttonous in how we eat. Instruments of righteousness. These members of our bodies that are instruments must move to instruments of righteousness. So that's why he says in Romans chapter 12, present your body as a living sacrifice, so that it is holy and acceptable, so that when you come to worship, it is your reasonable act of worship, because you are a royal priesthood. And that's why he says, when we come to worship, after talking about worship in chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says this, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, because God is a consuming fire. So I must bring him offerings of praise before God. When I come to him and I lift up holy hands, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I lift up holy hands to praise God. It's because when I lived out my life, I didn't use my hands for unholy purposes, because I use it as an instrument to righteousness. So when I lift up my hands to praise him, because I have a reverent fear of him, I can really praise him in holiness. And that's why he says, when he comes to this sacrifice as a royal priesthood, he says, bring a gift to God. When we bring a financial gift to God, it's a sacrifice before him. All over the Bible, we could have read this. He talks about this sacrifice. When we come to him, we offer up a gift to him. We are saying to him, God, I only have what I have because of you. Think of how real that was in their day. They were farmers. If it didn't rain, no matter what they planted, it didn't grow. And they can't plant. So that's why there was a Pentecost, a water celebration, a water festival. They lived in a dry climate. Their crop could only grow because of God. So when they come and they brought him a gift, yes, it was a sacrifice to bring the best of the best of the best. Because if you take the best animal and you bring it to God, then the rest of the animals may not have the same quality. Oh, folks, that's a sacrifice of a royal priesthood, like the priests would do at the altar when they brought the people's sacrifices before God. That's why he's saying, remember who you are. You are a royal priesthood. When you walk around in the community, you are a royal priesthood. When you go home to your family, you are a royal priesthood. Because the person who is saved in your family sanctifies the home. 1 Corinthians 7 says, as a father in your home, you're Christ. What did Christ do? He sacrificed his life for us. What does a father do? Chapter 6 of Ephesians. He instructs and teaches and disciplines his children. You're a royal priesthood wherever you go. I pray God's redefining of us create more definition of his character in us rather than the world tell us who we are. Stay focused.
Thank you, Pastor Cannings. It is Christ's power and strength in us that enables us to fulfill his agenda for our lives. And friends, if you should have any questions about spiritual matters or what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, please reach out to us. Our phone number is 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. For ministry resources, log on to powerwalkministries.org. In particular, look for Pastor Canning's recently released book titled Disciples in the Making, Discipling Believers from Spiritual Infancy to Spiritual Maturity. It also comes with a student workbook if you'd like to disciple somebody through that process.
A few years ago, some friends of mine, pastor friends, came to me and challenged me to start Power Walk. And by faith, we stepped out. Yes, folks, God has grown it. He's developed it because of the sacrifices we are willing to make. But in the midst of it, we recognize it costs, and it would be good for us to develop partners who would share in this ministry so that it reaches the potential God has for it. We'd love for you to look at our website, www.powerwalkministries.org. We'll see all the things that we're seeking to do for the glory of God. Become our partner and be a part of what God is doing. I know God will bless you for your sacrifice.
And now remember, we have the mind of Christ, and his Holy Spirit will enable us to reflect his character in our responses to people and the situations we face.